Welcome to Mysterious Dreams, your number one podcast for all things cult, strange, bizarre, and weird in regards to films located on streaming movie services, otherwise known as just Netflix. I am your host, the Mime Killer.
And I am the Geeky Senorita.
And you can find our podcast on iTunes. You can also find us at podomatic.com or our homepage at thecriticsword.com. That's where we would like you to go, preferably. All those other websites.
Who cares?
Nah, dog. They ain't us. Well, the film we'll be discussing today is Schizo. Before we do, I would like to apologize for the dozen listeners we have. We did take an unplanned break between this podcast and the last podcast for purely life reasons. Just work stuff and...
Shit happens. We had to take a break.
Wow.
That's it.
Vulgar. That's pretty much sums it up. Shit does happen, and shit did in fact happen. It not only does happen, it
I don't really think you have to say that shit happens, and then follow it up with shit did happen, because...
Well, shit happens is what you say in general, like, man, shit happens, but...
But that's what the implication that shit has already happened.
Shit happened. I think I'm going to go out and say that shit did happen.
I'm going to take a stand and demand that you never say that again.
Nope.
Until you learn how to use it in the proper context.
You know what? Oh, man. So, the film we're going to be talking about today is a 1976 horror film. We've jumped ahead 6 years into the future from 1970, which is where our last two films were made in, into 1976. Schizo, it's a UK film.
And evidently nothing really good happened as far as horror movies between 1970 and 1976.
Well, I only wanted to do about 3 or 4 movies per decade. Like, 4 movies in the 70s, 4 movies in the 80s. We're only doing, like, 1 movie from the 90s. But then, you know, we're going to wrap things up with the modern...
I feel like the 90s wasn't a very good year for horror movies.
There were some really good 90s. Sixth Sense came out in the 90s.
Yeah, I don't really consider that a horror movie.
That's because you're insane. What are you talking about? It's ghosts and dead people and a bunch of other horrific things. It didn't scare you?
No, not at all.
Oh, you're high. That movie creeped me out. Well, see, I saw it in theaters. You're a little too young. You probably heard...
Yeah, thank you, Grandpa.
Well, no, that. I'm just saying, you probably heard the jokes before you heard the...
I'd never heard anything before I saw
it. You never heard anyone say, I see dead people.
Okay, I'll admit it. I've never seen the movie all the way through.
Oh my gosh. Revelations upon revelations.
I've seen enough to know that it wouldn't scare me. Oh, and my I feel like I know enough about it that, man, I would never be, like, as shocked by the twist.
If you could
I
only
had
see,
never heard anything about it before.
If you could only see the look on my face right now. It is of complete disgust that someone would pass judgment on a movie with only seeing YouTube clips of it.
I'm not going to say that I've seen YouTube clips of it. I've seen enough of it. I've seen the scene where Bruce Willis is sitting in a chair talking to some dead person. I've seen the scene where Macaulay Culkin...
Bruce Willis wasn't even the one who talked to the dead people.
Oh, well, whatever.
There was
a
kid.
He's like in a chair somewhere in this movie.
Oh, my God.
I don't fucking know.
Probably wasn't even... Probably were watching Die Hard and just got confused.
No, because I've seen Die Hard all the way through.
You probably saw Die Hard 3, the scene where he's in a chair in Die Hard 3.
You'll have to excuse us while I go beat my husband.
So, my wife's official review for Die Hard 4 is...
Anyway, we're talking about Schizo. And I'm talking about movies I may or may not have gotten confused.
Just admit it, you saw Die Hard 4.
I have never seen Die Hard 4.
Was Kevin Smith in it? If Kevin Smith was in it, you weren't watching Sixth Sense. You were watching Die Hard 4.
No, I've only seen the first Die Hard, and that wasn't even my choice.
Okay. All right. Moving on.
Anyway.
So the movie we watch is Schizo, a UK slasher film. And as I say that, I realize we haven't done an American horror film so far. That's going to change with our next movie.
We haven't.
The first one was a UK film, then Italian, now we're back in the UK.
Italian one wasn't really that great.
Italian one was just bizarre. And Italian. But this one all wasn't bizarre. It was just pretty good. It was a pretty good slasher movie.
Yeah, I dug it.
There were some creepy scenes in this movie. Some creepy imagery.
Unsettling. Oh, it was so unsettling.
So it's directed by...
I haven't been unsettled by a horror movie in a while.
It's directed by Peter Walker. Walker, excuse me.
Do you know who taught you how to read?
I can't read my own writing. I can read, I just can't read what
I
write.
Who taught you how to write?
That is where I need help in. Peter Walker, he's a very famous UK director. He directed he's directed a lot of horror movies, a lot of schlocky films. He's kind of like the UK version of like Lloyd Kaufman from Troma or...
You're saying names and I have no idea who you're talking about.
All right, well, the film nerds are appreciating this right now. So, anyway, the movie opens up with someone reading a paper, and there's a wedding announcement in the paper.
Which I thought was a really funny way to put it in an announcement. It was just this huge headline, Ice Queen marries. I thought that was pretty hilarious, considering Ice Queen is normally just for a really cold woman.
I didn't know if that was, like... See, I don't quite know my UK slang. Maybe Ice Queen is a little bit friendlier.
Well, I figured it out because she's a figure skater.
Oh, that's right.
But you see the headline before you figure out that she's a figure skater. So that's why I was like, well, that's kind of a weird way to put it, but okay.
All right, so the character that we're not aware who he is yet reads the wedding announcement. He crumples up the paper, you think in anger.
He didn't crumble it up, did he?
He just kind of like, rrr.
He got the pen and like scribbled out a bunch of stuff and like scribbled all over her face.
Yeah, he was upset.
Visibly, very, very, visibly
very,
upset.
Very upset. And so we then meet the happy couple as they plan to get married.
Light emphasis on happy.
Oh, they're going to get married. And she probably talked about movies she didn't know about. And that's what probably is the driving their marriage part.
Yeah, that's the wedge between them.
Yep. She probably thinks she knows what she's talking about, but it turns out she's just making stuff up.
It's because I can't articulate very well. Doesn't mean I don't know what I'm talking about. If you could be in my head, you would know what I mean.
Well, anyway, the guy who scribbled on paper, he tries to crash the wedding. He puts a bloody knife into the wedding cake, and he's gonna...
Not into the wedding cake.
Well, like, not in the wedding cake, but like...
On the trolley that the wedding cake is on.
Exactly, the little push cart that the wedding cake is being pushed out in. And
I would like to add that it seemed really easy for him to crash this wedding.
He just kind of showed up, and they
put on an apron, and it was like, whatever.
They put him to work. They said, hey, you, take off your jacket. You're late. So... but he can't go out, because he's dressed like a slob, and he's sweating, and he looks like a...
piece of human trash.
He looks like a piece of human trash. So they don't allow him to go into the wedding as a server. So when they push the wedding out, though, the knife is discovered.
Mm-hmm.
And she starts to scream and have a spaz out. Which goes into her revealing to her husband some of her past. Her past up to this point has been very mysterious. None of her family actually showed up to the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
That's why some people asked her husband were kind of suspicious of her, because she has no past.
She just, as far as they know, she just literally came out of nowhere.
They know her mother's dead. Other than that, they don't know anything about her.
They don't know anything if she had any siblings, or what happened to her father, or anything else.
So, after a couple more disturbing incidents, which actually includes a very cool take on the psycho shower scene.
That was pretty awesome, I'll admit.
She's taking a shower, you see the silhouette of a knife, and you think, well, this is it for her.
Oh man, this is going to be a really short movie.
This is game over, they're going to do a character swap like they did in Psycho. But the radio turns on, the alarm clock radio turns on, and the silhouette disappears.
He scampers away as if somebody had a gun to the back of his head.
Well,
because the radio came on.
Sometimes talk radio can be very disorienting.
I don't know what talk radio you're listening to, but...
A lot of Sean Hannity.
That might be it.
I get
if
a
I
nosebleed.
Listen, if I randomly heard Sean Hannity, I'd probably run screaming from the room as
I
well.
I get a nosebleed every time.
So...
Oh, go ahead.
He disappears, and she gets out of the shower in a panic looking for him. And she runs into, what, her housekeeper?
Yeah, her housekeeper springs out.
Out of freaking nowhere, by the way. Which you would think at this point, if she's a housekeeper, she's obviously in the house doing things. And he would have had to have been pretty damn good at being sneaky to bypass a housekeeper.
Well, that raises a good point. Well, we'll talk about that later. All these incidents combined, so she reveals her past to her husband, which...
She reveals some of her past to her husband.
It's a flashback sequence of her mom with someone at an
It wasn't to her husband that she revealed that to.
Okay.
It was to her friend's, like, boyfriend or something who happened to be a psychiatrist.
Oh, that's right, the psychiatrist, excuse me. So she reveals this through the psychiatrist that she's been seeing.
And she tells him the whole story. My mom had this boyfriend when I was a kid. I heard them fighting. I saw that he killed her.
Yeah, she made fun of his dick, so...
She's like, oh man, I was totally with this dude, and he could at least get it up every once in a while.
Oh man, so at least it was slightly justifiable homicide.
Somehow I don't think a jury would agree with you.
Well, it depends on how many women are on that jury. I think men would understand.
Yeah.
I think so.
They'd be like, you should have totally knifed that bitch.
Been like, no, they won't be like, you totally should have, but, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah.
So.
Justified.
Innocent.
He's innocent of murder, but he's guilty of killing someone.
Yeah, there you go. I couldn't have said it better myself. But I'll try anyway. What I'm trying to say is... No, I'm kidding. That's a line, my favorite line from the Brady Bunch movie. That's where that quote's from.
I don't care.
Oh, man, I love that movie.
We're talking about Schizo. If you want to watch the Brady Bunch movie at some point and discuss it... We gotta put that as a biz on the back burner. Talking about Schizo.
You know what?
Stay focused.
This is a conversational podcast, and I think we can just kind of weave in whatever thoughts come into our heads.
Stay focused.
Nope, conversational podcast. So, where were we? Go ahead.
She revealed to the psychiatrist what happened with her past. Boyfriend got mad because he got his dick insulted, killed the wife. Or killed the mother.
Killed the mother. And that's why she has these episodes of...
She's neurotic.
She's nervous about things and...
Neurotic.
Shadows.
Neurotic.
Nervous. And
oh, my God. I'm going to stab you in the
head. Oh, man. So, you know, this is why
we... Podcast can't be used against you in a court of law, can it?
I don't know. Maybe. Probably. I once had a blog almost entered into a court of law as official evidence once. I felt really bad because the blog was really bad.
I would just like to say if anything happens to my husband in the near future, I am completely innocent.
Nope. Nothing will make you want to write, make you write better or write more eloquently than when your blog
more
is...
More better?
More better. More better. Betterly.
No. Just better.
I'm kidding. Nothing will make you want to write better than having your blog almost read in a court of law and hearing a bailiff like try to read your blog. And it's horrible. I won't get into the situation about why. It's a really long story. But let's just say that if you're going to write on the internet, make sure it's legible. Make sure it makes sense. Because who knows? Maybe it'll be read in a court of law one day.
Oh, this is insane. Anyway.
This is a lot more rabbit trail podcast than we're used to. I think it's better. I think it's a better podcast.
We're going on way too many tangents. We got to focus here.
All right. So, was it right after that reveal that the psychiatrist was killed in his car?
Yes.
Is that how I'm remembering things?
Yeah. He got his neck slit.
He got his neck slashed, and he was found dead. Dead by neck slashing. So now the bodies are starting to pile up.
But nobody still believes her that she's being stalked. Because she's seen him. She's had incidents where she thinks she's seen him or heard him calling to her at, like, the grocery store, things like that. And nobody believes her. They all think that this is just part of her neurosis, and she's just going crazy.
And I wrote in my notes at this exact point of the movie that I do think she is crazy. That bitch cray-cray for sure.
If you straight saw your mother's boyfriend kill her, I think you'd be a little crazy as well.
Well, that's what I'm just saying. I made a note of it. Theory. Bitch is cray.
So, I put straight up cray cray as well.
What, you agreed with me? You argued with me when I brought it up.
Well, yeah, because I'm a contradictory person.
Oh, man. All right. So, we continue on through the film.
Wasn't there at some point they were trying to describe a suspect, and they're like, suspect is Greek in appearance? And that made me laugh.
Why is that?
Well, how many Greek people do you think there could be in London? They have to be like, oh man, dude, that nigga's straight up Greek.
You gotta
go after all the Greek-looking fools and round them up and question them all.
It's not questioning them all, but it's just like when you describe the ethnicity of anyone.
How do you describe Greek? Now, I've never... If I've met a Greek person, I don't know it, but...
No, we don't have a lot of Greek people in California, or at least this part of California.
You could say, like, oh, there's, like, somebody from India, and I'd be like, oh, yeah, I know what that guy kind of looks like.
Well, no.
Or you'd be like, I know somebody from Mexico, I would know what they look like.
Greeks do have a certain look. They're kind of swarthy, you know. They, you know, they're They're usually their penises are inside small boys. That's another good sign you're dealing with the Greek. I'm kidding. But, no, Greeks have a look.
Where do these Greeks reside again?
Hey, it's a well-known fact that when escorts use codes for anal sex, they call it going Greek.
I'm frightened that you know that.
Moving on. So,
how many times have you gone Greek behind my back?
You know what? We're moving on. So, then we get another, someone else gets killed.
Didn't he at some point before the bodies start crawling up, or piling up, rather? Because bodies don't crawl unless they're zombies.
Or ghosts.
Whatever. Ghosts don't crawl? What are you, high?
The Grudge ghost crawled.
That's not even really a ghost. That's a, oh my god. Now, anyway, he calls her at one point, and he's like, did you like the present that I sent to your wedding?
Mm.
Don't you remember that?
I do.
You're not paying attention.
I was paying attention.
Okay.
So, she's being harassed.
She's being harassed, and nobody believes her. Because apparently nobody knows how to check her phone records in the 70s.
You know what? I do. I think the UK phone system was a lot... You know, they didn't have a real modern phone system for a while. And I'm not even just saying that to be smug or racist. But the UK phone system in the 70s wasn't that great. Wasn't that fantastic. I think they were still on operators in the 70s. Well, the reason why we switched from operators is because our population was so high that they did some math and they figured out the amount of operators we would need. You know, that operator, can I direct your call, please? Was going to be astronomical. So we were forced to change out of the operator system because of population growth. I don't think they experienced that same growth. So I don't think they were pressured to get a what we would consider the modern phone system till later than we did.
Mm. Anyway.
I could be talking out my ass.
Probably.
But.
You usually are. What was my other point? Damn it. Now I lost my train of thought. Oh, when she told the psychiatrist, for me, if I was a psychiatrist, my first thing would have been like, look, she's obviously having an issue with seeing this guy everywhere. It wouldn't hurt to check what he's doing and, like, where he's at. If he's still in jail, if he's out, that could raise some eyebrows, but just kind of see what's going on. Just to kind of, even not even to, just to, like, prove her right, just to be like, look, I know you're worried about this guy, but I did some looking. He's still in prison, so you're safe.
Now, I think you're overestimating what the job duties of a psychiatrist is. The amount of crazy crap they hear on a daily basis. You know, you get about a dozen clients that you go through a day. It has to be astronomical. You can't exactly...
But even something like that, even a murder, it had to have been reported in some form.
But like I said, beyond...
It couldn't just be like, oh man, she's straight making all this biz up.
Beyond even the workload that I would put on a psychiatrist, I think there might even be some ethical considerations about investigating things that...
Yeah, but that dude wanted in her pants.
So ethics
is pretty much fucking out the window at that point.
So if you wanted the banger, you should have looked into it more?
Yeah.
Instead of just dying?
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly.
So who died after that? I'm trying to remember.
The psychiatrist died.
The psychiatrist died.
So then she goes to see a psychic.
That's right.
To try to, like... somehow communicate with her mother or some... I wasn't paying that much attention at this point in the movie. But I know she goes to see a psychiatrist. And
a psychic.
Psychic, yeah. Sorry, her psychiatrist is already dead.
Yeah, she didn't go see another one.
That would be terrible.
She went to go see to a seance.
Yeah.
To try to figure out... to try to talk to her mother.
Which, they did that cliche thing, and I don't know if in the 70s it was cliche, but it's like, when you know a psychic's just BSing... with the people that, like, at least I think of one lady asked, like, oh, can you ask my dead husband to help me find my wedding ring because it's so important to me? And it's like, and the dead husband, quote unquote, is like, there's a lot of symbols of our marriage in that house, not just your wedding ring. So that is bullshit.
So it's all smokes and mirrors, except
for when she's talking to Sam, the main character.
Yeah. The Sam, the main character, then the psychic is very creepily possessed by a real ghost, and her eyes bug out all weird, and she talks in a very deep voice.
And then she utters a scary phrase. The killer's in the hallway!
Yeah, the killer is here. The killer is here. And then you see the shadow again. As it scurries off. Now, she thinks she's doing the psychic a favor by lending her jacket.
Because it is raining, as it does quite often in London, I imagine.
But it's not a favor, because as soon as the second puts on the jacket...
She gets straight stabbed in the eye, son.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
She gets hammered to death. You're thinking of something a little bit later.
Well, I saw her broken glasses, so... Yeah.
She's in a bus stop, and she gets her face repeatedly hammered in.
Oh, that's why
It's pretty vicious. But no, she doesn't get...
Stabbed
in the eye.
She gets thrown under a bus, though.
Yeah.
That was epic.
She gets hammered in the face half a dozen times and then pushed, thrown under a bus. She gets literally thrown under a bus.
Yikes.
So, things escalate. More people die. Who does get stabbed in the eye is the maid who popped out. She gets stabbed in a knitting...
She has a bad habit of popping out where she shouldn't be.
She gets stabbed with a knitting needle in the back of the head.
And it goes through her eyeball.
Through the eyeball. Pretty good death sequence. Pretty good gore. And so that all ends up with a confrontation in a warehouse between the woman and the man who's been stalking her for the entire film. And it's revealed she is cray-cray. She's been the one killing everyone. She's the one who killed her own mom when she found her having sex with this guy. This dude went to prison, got out, saw that she's getting married, and now I do question his game plan because...
Yeah, like, what was your end goal here, dude? Like, he's like, I wanted to remind you gradually by sending you all these weird things in a creepy manner.
Well, I think he didn't want to kill her because he had plenty of opportunity to do that. He just wanted her to get to remember that she's the one who killed her own mom.
And even if she did remember, it's not like she's going to turn herself in.
And you already did the jail time, bro.
Yeah.
It's not going to,
It's
so,
not like you're
going to
get the years back that you lost in that jail.
So
it's not like your asshole's going to be reverted back to its original size at that point.
It's not going to get non-prolapsed.
Yeah.
So his revenge plan falls apart.
You can't get unraped, son.
I'm going to have to put explicit on this podcast. Talking about... Greek and all a bunch of his stuff. So he gets just pushed onto a bunch of like pipes and industrial things and he dies.
Well, he doesn't die right away.
Yeah, he stumbles out one last time to go, oh, and then he dies.
Which seemed not to make that much sense to me. Again, what's your game plan, man?
So she's been the one hammering, she's been the one stabbing. If this guy's even been in her house as much as...
She thinks that he has been.
Yeah. So the movie ends with her seeing her husband with her best friend, putting a knife in her briefcase, and them going on the honeymoon, seemingly going to kill him on their honeymoon.
Very lax hotel security.
The wrong person will be penetrated on this honeymoon.
Well, that depends entirely on your definition of wrong.
Yes, it does, and yes, it is. So that wraps up Schizo. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I really enjoyed it.
I dug it.
You're all very attractive people for listening to this podcast. I just want to thank you very much. And you can email me.
You can't go Greek on any of them.
You can think about going Greek on me, but don't tell me about it.
Well, you just want them to randomly come into the room and just like...
I don't want them to think about it near me. You can think about it in your own house, though.
Ew. I would almost rather somebody think about it near me.
Near you? Right? Why?
I don't know. It's flattering in a way.
But they're, like, near you, though.
Yeah, but it's not like they're like, oh, man, dude, I'm thinking about this, so we have to do it. Because
the smell
you're
of
near
the
me.
Sweat in the air.
It's summertime. You're going to smell sweat in the air anyway.
That's grody.
Oh,
so you can email me with questions about this film or any film at mindkiller@gmail.com. If you're a Greek... And you're offended by our jokes, you can email me at yahoo@yahoo.com is where all the complaints can
go.
You go
suck an elf.
Oh,
that's really what's
wow.
going to happen right now.
So the next movie we're going to do is our first American film as we go right into 1983. I was 1 year old when this movie...
1 years?
I was 1 year old when this movie came out.
Who taught you math?
1983.
Who taught you words?
Oh, man. How old were you?
I wasn't even born yet, son.
Oh, you're youngin'. So the movie's called Screen Time. It again is on Netflix, and this movie is one of my favorite type of horror movies, a anthology horror series where they do multiple stories in
I
one movie.
I do like those anthologies.
We are currently in a renaissance of these kind of films with the VHS series, ABCs of Death, and hopefully
ABCs of Death was terrible.
ABCs of Death had, well, I think it was half good.
It started out so well. Like,
well,
some of it was really good, and then it just got caught up in that Japanese horror that was just weird. and it lost
me. I will say, out of the 26 short films in the movie, I would say about half were, like, decent to really good. And the other half ranged from awful to just bizarre. But some of them I've kind of warmed up to. Like, the more humorous ones, the one with the Japanese girl farts everyone to death.
Oh my god, that one was the worst. Oh
man,
it was at that point in the movie that I'm like, already an F. I'm like, you know what? I don't really know if I want to watch through the rest of this.
ABC's of Death is worth watching.
VHS is definitely worth watching.
VHS 1 and 2, really good.
Those were epic.
But this is Scream Time, and I'm hoping for some good things for this film. This is probably my most anticipated film we've done so far.
I'm interested. I've never even heard of it, so.
Did I give the email out?
Yes, you did. Twice. Oh,
thank you. I'm suffering early onset of Alzheimer's.
Yeah, well, you're an old man.
All right, well, that wraps up this episode of Mysterious Streams. Again, thank you for joining us. Thank you for sticking with us. And once again, you are very attractive. Just for listening to this podcast, I know you're an attractive person on the inside and out.
Yikes.
All right. Think about Greek with me if you want. I give you my permission.
Ew, please don't.